Okay. This is Michael O'Rourke with the Oregon Historical Society interviewing Janet Lemos. The date is June 3rd, 1988. And this is tape one, side A. So why don't we start by you telling me a little bit about yourself, a brief sketch of your background, where you grew up and what your family was like, and what their politics were like, and then later on where you went to school and what your early career plans were.
Okay. I grew up in the Adirondacks in upstate New York in a small town, Long Lake, New York. There are 8 children in my family. My grandfather was sheriff, so from an early age we were always involved in community politics. My dad was ran for office as Justice of the Peace. I guess most everyone in our family were Republicans, conservative Republicans. My original plans with my life after I graduated from high school were to become a teacher, but after I went to college I decided I really did not want to be a teacher and left after 2 years, not exactly sure what I wanted to do. I took a secretarial course and ended up working for the FBI in Washington, D.C. for a year. And then my dad was friends with a man who had a camp in Long Lake who worked for National Geographic. So he told me that if, after I left the FBI, I wanted to work for the National Geographic Society, to let him know, which I did. I was not involved or greatly interested in politics. I knew about politics from my history classes in high school. We had a teacher who was real good, and we had mock elections, et cetera, when there were presidential elections on. So I came to Washington, D.C., and worked for National Geographic for about 4 years. And I was attending a church where Senator Hatfield's legislative director, Lon Fendel, was attending. And he told me about a job opening. I had not approached him previously to say I was interested in looking for another job, but it was a small church, we got to know each other, and he just told me about a job opening in case I wanted to work on Capitol Hill. And after some thought, I just decided that's sort of what Washington was all about and decided to apply for the job. And I subsequently got the job working in the general typing pool for Senator Hatfield.
Did you meet the senator at that time then?
Yes, uh-huh. I met him after I'd already been hired. We were in the Russell Senate office building at that time on the 4th floor and met him, I think, the afternoon of the day I started.
Mm-hmm. And what were your first impressions of him?
I think I was sort of awed by him. I was very shy. He was very shy. He soon found out that I blushed easily, so he took great delight in showing me things that would make me blush or embarrass me. Although he was very nice, he was not cruel about it.
What kinds of things would he show you?
When he first got the picture that's up on his wall by Salvador Dali, it has the back of a naked woman in it. So he, our offices were a suite of offices, all connected, and so I was in the last room, so he came running back and asked me to come up to his office. I came up and he said, I want you to see this picture. Well, close up, all you can see is this naked woman, so of course I just blushed seeing it. And he just thought that was great, just laughed and laughed, and then explained to me how you squint and look at it, you can see the outline of Lincoln's head. So things like that he liked to embarrass. He still does.
Okay. Any recent examples of that?
I could probably give you daily examples. Let me see. When he is in a particularly good mood, one of his favorite things to do is to tell Navy stories or movies that they would show them when they were in the Navy about all the perils of the world, or diseases they could get, social diseases they could get from women in surrounding communities. So he'll laugh and start talking about those days. Sometimes when Rick or Jim come in and I will make my escape and run out of the office, and he will laugh.
Did you know much about him before you came to work here?
I bought his book, Conflict and Conscience, and sort of glanced through it. I didn't read it real closely. I knew who he was. I knew what it stands. I knew he was a Christian. I knew he was a very moral man. And just sort of from a distance, I admired him. I took more of an interest when I met Lon and Ray Fendel and knew that Lon worked for Senator Hatfield.
So you had your Christianity in common?
Right.
And what would you say were other areas of agreement or things that attracted you to him?
I don't think I came to work here because of Mark Hatfield, although because I admired him just morally and because he was a Christian. I think I mostly came up for the experience on Capitol Hill, so I did not come to work for him because of any particular political stand that he took.
Okay. What would you say have been areas where maybe you don't totally agree with him over the years?
I don't always agree with his stand on defense, and that's a big one, that he is votes against every military budget. I think he has some excellent points. He often says that things should be cleaned out in the military, that wastes should be eliminated, or there's just a lot of spending. It's like a big giant, and it should be, what is the word, sort of revised, that's not the word I want, so that particularly when they were talking about the draft, reinstituting the draft, that the military should be made attractive enough that people would want to pursue that for their career instead of having to be drafted. I agree with that, but he took an early stand against the war in Vietnam. My brother fought in Vietnam, so I am prejudiced a little bit in that when he seemed to be almost taking a stand against the government, I don't agree with him wholeheartedly on that, I guess.
Would you say that, well, you said that your parents were conservative Republicans,
right.
And of
right.
course Mark Hatfield's a liberal Republican,
right.
So I imagine that would be...
It did, and to this day they still will make comments about some of his stance, but they agree with many things. I guess it's sort of hard to categorize Senator Hatfield, because in some stands, for instance, pro-life, he'd be termed conservative. He takes more of a conservative stand, and I agree with him on that stand.
Mm-hmm. So you joined the staff as part of the general secretarial pool.
Right.
But then later you came to your present position.
Right.
Could you tell me a little bit about how that occurred?
Sure. When I first started working for the Senate, I was just doing general typing, and that involved the legislative aides would answer constituent mail and dictate the responses, and so I would transcribe the dictation, and then eventually I started doing all of the senators' speeches, typing those and getting into a little bit of editing, which was a stressful position because usually the speeches wouldn't get written until right before he left, and sometimes in a couple of days I had to crank out 30 speeches or so. 30-page speeches, usually they were actually not 30, maybe up to 10, 12, I think 17 was the most that I did one time. And Fortunately, I was a fast typist, but it was difficult. But through those, I got to really, became really familiar with a lot of his stance, a lot of his views, so I found that interesting. Again, I was just getting tired of typing all day long and was thinking about, again, about leaving, maybe looking for something else. And one day, Jerry Frank asked me to come into the senator's office and told me that the senator's assistant personal secretary was changing jobs. And I would take that position for 3 months, and while I was in that position, be trained because the senator's personal secretary, who had been with him for 12 years, was leaving, and that he and Senator Hatfield had chosen me to take that position. He did not say, the senator's secretary is retiring, would you like to have her position? He said, we have chosen you to take that position. What do you have to say for yourself, young lady? So I was just, you know, expressed my surprise, and I was very pleased that they had selected me, but I also didn't know if I would be capable of doing her job. So I was assistant personal secretary, and then I became Senator Hatfield's secretary on January 1st, 1980. When I became his secretary, he was chairman of the inaugural committee. Republicans had taken over the Senate, so that meant that was a new direction. He was chairman of the Appropriations Committee, had never been a chairman before, and now his secretary of 12 years had retired, someone he was very used to and who was used to him. So it was a big adjustment for both of us my first year. It was overwhelming, I think.
You mentioned earlier that there may have been some differences in style between what you eventually developed as your style as personal secretary and some of the two immediate predecessors. Could you maybe talk a little bit about your two predecessors and their style and sort of the ways in which you developed a different style?
Some of the things that I noticed about my immediate predecessor was that she...
That was
Marion Bruner. It's hard to be able to say specifically, but she really catered to Senator Hatfield, tried to anticipate every need of his, whether it was what he was going to have for lunch or to make sure he put his, you know, packed his slippers in his suitcase, or reminders about little things like that. And I made a mental note that I was not going to be a secretary in that same way, that I feel like there are some things that Senator Hatfield has to do for himself that I was not going to do. Another thing I noticed about Marion was she was not, the senator was never real confrontational. If there was a problem, a lot of times he would tell Jerry. I noticed that in relating to Marion, he would have Jerry tell Marion what the problem was or what she was doing that he was not real satisfied with. And I decided that I did not want to hear through a second person what the problem was. So I decided that I would try to change that. And I also noticed that Marion was isolated, that at times she would, when there were a lot of people around the senator talking with him, staff, she would not be involved in that. She kind of would sit at her desk all by herself and do her work and then leave. And maybe it was because I was younger, maybe she was just interested in getting her stuff done and getting out of there, but I wanted to participate and get to know the senator in sort of an informal way. So those are some of the ways.
Did you discuss any of this with the senator?
No. But after I'd worked for him for a few weeks, I went into his office and asked him what I was doing that he would like me to be doing differently, or if he was displeased with how I was doing anything. And he is such a politician and so used to wanting everyone to like him that he said, oh no, everything was fine. But then I gave him about another month and then went in and asked him again, and this time he had a list of things I was doing that I could be doing differently. And I felt like that sort of opened the channels that he would just deal directly with me, and he always has.
Since that time.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember some of the things that were on the list and whether or not you had a discussion about them?
Let me see if I can remember any of those things. Senator Hatfield is a very detailed man. And I would not put on his list, like if he was going to the White House for a meeting, I wouldn't put that he needed to leave at 11:45 for a 12 o'clock meeting. And I just figured he would know that. And he just said sometimes he just reads and he doesn't really think about, well, this is what I'm going to have to be doing if this is going to occur. So he wanted me to do that for him, which I started doing. And he suggested I try to mentally walk through everything that he goes through to prepare him for it. And so I did that. And then just little things like if he was going to a meeting downtown, to include phone numbers or try to anticipate what if the person wasn't there to meet him, where he should go or who he should call and who he should ask for. Just things along those lines, mostly having to do with schedule or preparing him for something. Mm-hmm. Around the list.
Okay. Well, you've been here for quite some time and have seen the comings and goings of various staff members. I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about other sort of key personalities on the staff over the years. Identify, you know, who they were and what they were like personally. Like when you first came, who were the sort of the key figures advising the senator?
When I first came on, it was sort of the end of the Wes Michelson era. I said. I think he was on the staff for maybe 3 or 4 months, 5 months when I first came, and then left. And he was right in the process of helping the senator finish up the book, Between a Rock and a Hard Place. So for the first week I was here, I typed changes and manuscripts, and so and I was. Senator Hatfield has since said that Wes Michelson probably thought the most like Senator Hatfield of any aide he ever had. So there was sort of this, I don't know how to describe it. Wes was almost up on a pedestal, or there was sort of this awe about Wes. He was a wonderful man, and I think Senator Hatfield sort of helped to build this myth about Wes Michelson because he was probably amazed to find somebody who was so like him, where Wes could say something and maybe Senator Hatfield was going to say the same thing, or it could have been Senator Hatfield's words. So anyone who had to follow Wes would have a rough time. I'm trying to think, I think maybe Steve Hickok was Senator Hatfield's legislative director after Wes, and a very different personality. Wes was more, knew what he wanted, but was very quiet about getting it. Steve was just more direct and kind of came on in straightforward, sort of in a blasting way. I wasn't real familiar with the workings between the legislative director and the legislative assistants. There were, I think, the legislative assistants were mostly married and did a lot of socializing outside of the office as couples. And then within probably about 3 or 4 years, that started to change, and there were a lot. They left, went back to Oregon, established into careers, and.
Who would some of these people be?
Jack Robertson, Craig Honeyman, Tom Imeson, Lon Fendel, Jenna Dorn, mm-hmm. Jenna Oldfield then. Marty Gold, Ricky Poster Sheehan.
Of course, she's still here.
She's still here, uh-huh. Tom Decker, mm-hmm. is on. Jim Hemphill. He was Steve Crow, Walt Evans. Mm-hmm. Were all on when I first came on.
And you say a lot of these people then have subsequently left, and have the people that have replaced them been more or less the same type of people, or has there been sort of a shift in the staff over the years?
I think there's been sort of a shift. Some of those, particularly Steve Hickok, Jack Craig, they were all with the senator sort of on the edge of the Vietnam years. And I know Steve Hickok came to work for Senator Hatfield, who was a conscientious objector, came to work for him instead of being drafted, I think. And so they all sort of remembered this big time when Senator Hatfield stood up against the Vietnam War and just all the repercussions of that. So then the turnover was the people who were not really part of the Vietnam War, read about it maybe in school but weren't part of that, and they don't remember all of the horror stories. But the senator's reputation is standing up against brutalities or things that the government were doing in other countries. I know that drew a lot of people to him, a lot of people that are on his staff now. And a lot of people came as interns. We got to know them as interns, and then they came on to the staff. Like, and I forgot to mention Gary Barber was on, sort of at the edge of that. He came on, I think, 2 or 3 years after I started. And so it changed to a lot of singles and a lot of people that had been here as interns, and they were just sort of it was a different personality, a younger personality.
So the staff did become younger on the average, you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think there was any reason for that kind of shift apart from, well, you mentioned that there was a lot of consciousness around Vietnam and the early staff members. Any other sort of reason for the shift to, say, younger staff?
I'm not sure if it's. I think that some of the Vietnam that hold over. I think that most of them came here and were married, and sometimes they are a little bit more settled. And when some of the interns came and then wanted to work, come onto staff as some of the ones that wanted to go back to Oregon and settle down left, it just sort of made for, they were here, they could be more flexible, kind of hang around, work as a doorkeeper or whatever until didn't really need salaries or much money to live on. And that maybe that was responsible. I think it was more circumstantial than mm-hmm. anything else.
Of course, one person that has been sort of a consistent thread through all this is Jerry Frank. Can you tell me a little bit about what he's like as a staff person and as just a person?
When I first came on staff, I was very intimidated by him. And I think that sometimes he uses that intimidation to kind of make things be real shipshape. When I came downstairs to work as Senator Hatfield's personal and appointments secretary, I noticed the relationship changed to, he related to me more as a peer than as someone who was an authority over me. And Senator Hatfield, when I first became his secretary, everybody that called up and asked for an appointment, I'd kind of group them all together and go over them all with the senator. At least someone, it's very hard for him to say no to people. And so he was just kind of going crazy with his days. They were so full, and he was seeing so many people that it became very frustrating for him, and he knew that the problem was with himself. So he and Jerry and I sat down one day to try to figure out a solution. And at that point, we decided that instead of going over appointment requests with the senator, I'd go over them with Jerry. So that made me work in that area a lot more closely with Jerry, so I got to know him better. There are some people that I know automatically go on the appointment books. I don't even bother, but with pretty much everybody at the end of the day or every other day, I'll go over requests with Jerry. He is good to work with. I really admire his memory of names, Oregonians' names and places, and who goes with what. He's an incredibly valuable gift to Senator Hatfield's staff because of that, because of his knowledge of people and places. And he has an enormous card file. I don't know if you've heard mention of that, of anyone, I think, who has ever really had contact with the senator in any way. He's got their names, addresses, and a little notation about them, or where we know them from, or what they invited the senator to. So that is a very valuable resource. It's often been said that he's sort of an alter ego. He takes on more of the administration side of the office, so that when things have to be dealt with, you know, people are not maybe up to par or doing slipping through, he is the one that will approach them rather than the senator. Mm-hmm. I'd call him pretty much Senator Hatfield's confidant, vice versa.
So it's a very close relationship between the two of them?
Yes, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there's still a respect. There's still, I wouldn't call them buddy-buddies. And there's just, there's a very mutual respect. I think that there's a line that neither of them will cross. There's a respect for their private lives that neither of them will get into the other. Although Jerry is the godfather to Senator Hatfield's children, is there often for Christmas or to spend a day with them. There still is, and there's just a mutual respect between them.
Mm-hmm. What about the senator and his interactions with the staff? How does he work with the individual staff members? How does he relate to them?
He has a policy, an open door policy, where anytime that he's not with an appointment, he wants people to feel free to come in, and I think that's known, and people do that. A lot of senators don't do that, are not accessible. He wants to always be accessible to the staff. A lot of times he'll go upstairs and kind of wander around or sit at the mail desk and open mail or read mail. He always likes to know if there's a problem. If anybody's had some tragedy, he's the first one there to help out, or will call people at home. He's very personable, wants to get to know the staff. One thing that I noticed when I became a secretary was that he was particularly shy with the women, and would never, a lot of times he'd gather up a bunch of guys to go to lunch with, and one day I said to him, "Why don't you ever go to lunch with the women? You always go with the guys." And he said, "Well, they never ask me." And so I thought, well, I'm going to change that. So a few of the women and I guess three others, and I invited him to lunch with us. So we started this little women's lobby, so he'd go to lunch with us. And he started doing that, enjoyed that. I think he was shy. It's hard, I think, sometimes. It's so easy for people to misconstrue things. If Senator Hatfield always went to lunch with his personal secretary, that rumors would start to fly, or there are, I think he is conscious of his reputation and doing the right thing. So I think that sort of entered into it. But also because he is sort of shy, he did not really initiate getting together with women. It was easier for him just to say to a bunch of guys, "Let's go to lunch." But now he will initiate. A lot of times he'll come in and say, "Why don't you go downstairs and have some breakfast with me?" So I'll do that, or a couple of us will. Mm-hmm. He has lunch often. Whenever he does not have a planned lunch, he'll gather up whoever's here, or sometimes if he has something specific, speeches to go over, he'll ask Jim Toohey or Jim and Rick to go to lunch with him. Or If there's nothing on his agenda, he'll just ask Jim and me or whoever happens to be around when he's ready to go to lunch, to go to lunch with him. One recent lunch I remember was a Saturday when there were about 13 or 14 of us in here. They were in session. And Senator Hatfield called over to me and said,
One minute.
Sure.